2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
This is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us yet, use the promo code PODCAST and get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. $16 a month, folks. We got all sorts of things going on, especially the Domination Station. Look, for $16 a month alone, you get the Domination Station, which does all the work for you. But in addition to that, 24/7 access to our premium Slack chat, Keith Hall's cheat sheet, which we like to call Boomers Ballers, and all sorts of other great things. Once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code PODCAST. So I am your host, Al Walsh. You can find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. And that man, Keith Hall, which I just mentioned, is joining us as always. You can find him on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. I know before we hit the record button on this damn thing, we're talking about baseball, and it's a glorious feeling to see it on the TV once again.
Yes, it is.
I know this is the NBA show, but you know,
hey, this NBA show is going to turn into an NBA / baseball show real quick.
Very true. Very true.
It is going to be nice. DraftKings, I hope if you have any of your little scouts that listen to this, that you take my advice and you severely consider holding tournaments for the WBC, because if you can do it for Olympic basketball and golf, then you should be able to do it for the World Baseball Classic. So take my advice. Do it. It'll get people fired up for baseball, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Hey, they turned NASCAR into a fantasy sport with relevance.
Oh,
I mean,
my God,
I saw a lot of
so
our guys yesterday,
in the
NBA channel talking about the NASCAR race. And by the way, funniest thing I heard like in my entire lifetime, where I can't remember the guy. He's got the side part on ESPN, and he's got the fancy suits. He does he does some college football. Marty Reed, something like that.
Oh, the guy from like South Carolina or Georgia or whatever. He's got the deep accent.
He called Dale Earnhardt Jr. Redneck Jesus yesterday. I don't know if that's a known thing, but that was by far the funniest thing.
He's by far the most popular driver in NASCAR. It's crazy, and it's not even close. Like, it really is not even remotely close.
I don't really follow the sport at all that much. I have a friend who, I have one friend out of all, three of my friends that are big like NASCAR fans. So I've watched a race or two in my day, but I don't know. I just don't get the appeal of it. I'm sorry. You know what? I am not sorry. It's cars racing around a circle.
Yeah, but the DFS element brings it into...
That is true. That is true.
Really into light here. And that's what's great about it is, like, except for yesterday, first off, congrats to LaMarcus Aldridge. Not the basketball player. He's a guy in our community.
He can't fit in a NASCAR car.
If anybody could, I wouldn't doubt it. But he absolutely crushed it yesterday.
Did he?
27K on just the Daytona 500. It was so tilting for me because I was up there and I had a chance to actually like compete for a nice little 30K prize, and then the series of just stupidity and wrecks decided to ensue, and it ended up costing me a lot of cash. So
Now for 200 mile an hour car haters like myself, how do they even do the point system? Is it just based solely on where you finish? Because I know you're not getting rebounds and assists in NASCAR, so how do they even score it?
You have where you finish, you have place differential, stuff like that. So it's taking like Dale Earnhardt, who started second and ended up crashing, that automatically knocked out like 20% of the field, which was phenomenal.
Oh, redneck, Jesus, no!
So, so that's pretty much what you're doing, is you're taking away, it all goes for place differential. So, I'm not going to give too much out. I don't understand it quite a bit. with sports like hockey, golf, NASCAR, I defer to our pros.
Yep.
And man, I didn't profit yesterday. I lost about, I got back about half of my money that I invested in it. And yes, it is an investment, ladies and gentlemen. I see it as that. It was one of those things that, why is my computer messing up? It was one of those things that was quite nice. So, I got it was the DFS Army had quite the profitability yesterday.
Indeed, indeed. Lots of happy stories as opposed to sorrowful ones. Hey, I want to give a big shout out to the listeners too. On a daily basis, did you know we are averaging over 1,000 downloads per day on this podcast?
I did not.
Yeah.
I'm the one that does everything. The numbers are big, folks.
So thanks for tuning in. Much appreciation. And also to show some love to Taco at his golf podcast that he does each week. Always a good listen. And then, we got all sorts of other things going on and also in the works. I do wonder how it's going to work with the transition for basketball and baseball. I wonder if, we'll take polls and all sorts of questions on this, but we should probably do a show that combines basketball and baseball so we're not missing out on all the fun.
Okay. We could put out a Twitter poll.
That's probably an off-air discussion, but enough with the jibba-jabba, folks. It is a seven-game slate on today's NBA day on this Monday. So let's just get it kicked off, shall we? All righty then. We'll start out with the Toronto Raptors at the New York Knicks. Raptors 2.5-point favorites in this one, over under at 211.5. Raptors have won both meetings this season, both games over 10 points in each victory. Raptors 8-2 against the Knicks in their last 10 meetings, but they have only covered 4 of those games. I guess the big news out of the Knicks today, the waving of Brandon Jennings, and not, like calling somebody over with his hand. He is no longer a New York Knick. So that will certainly put some different guys in play. Also for the Knicks, you got Kristaps Porzingis, who is questionable with the ankle issue. And then on the Raptors side of things, you got another point guard issue over there with Kyle Lowry. He's questionable with the wrist injury. So given everything I've just said, what intrigues you the most today?
The fact that Brandon Jennings was released and the Knicks will sign point guard Chason Randle.
Yep.
Like seriously. Chason.
That's a fancy name. Chason.
Like, I don't understand that. I guess it says here that it's a sign that they're ready to rebuild. But if you're ready to rebuild, why would you hold on to Carmelo Anthony and Derrick Rose?
There seriously. Are so many things that the Knicks are doing that we just have no explanation for. The fact that the Nets have lost 15 straight games and they're still not the biggest laughing stock in New York is definitely saying something.
I guess Phil Jackson is no longer considered the Zen master, right?
He is a flop.
Although his best move as a GM or whatever they want to call it in the NBA, chief basketball operations officer or whatever it is, I guess the best move was drafting Kristaps Porzingis. But as far as like,
you know what's
DFS
funny?
Is concerned,
hold on real quick. What's funny with what people say about that? Number one, it's not like he took, you know, Porzingis second over, or, you know, like D'Angelo Russell or anything like that. It was like, that's who was available in the draft at that time. I know I was actually there live for that one, and there was a lot, and even on the radio, you know, in the days leading up to it, a lot of love for Justice Winslow at that pick right there. So, I don't know, Porzingis or Winslow? I think Porzingis is doing pretty damn good for himself.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think Miami's pretty happy with Justice Winslow, too. You know, granted,
when he's on the court.
Well, yeah, he's hurt this year. But, I mean, when he's active, I mean, he's one of those small forwards that we don't, you know, pick on against in DFS. So, yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, we really got to look to. Brandon Jennings being out, it's going to open up some minutes for, I'm assuming, Ron Baker in the intermediate. Not that Ron Baker is a play by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm really only, honestly, I don't like a lot that's in this game that's on the Knicks side. I mean, maybe Zingas, because we know that Serge Ibaka doesn't like to, you know, guard the perimeter as far as a stretch four. But I don't like... What are we doing with GHG? His price has gone up. He's 5,900 on FanDuel. I know it's a perceived good matchup versus... I guess I need to look at, you know, how... I need to look at GHG's... you know, actual statistics here as far as height and weight, because I want to say that he's just going to get absolutely dominated by Mr. Valanciunas. He's 6'11", 240, and let's see here.
Oh, you went to the height and weight on him. Okay, okay.
Yeah, because he just seems like an undersized center, and Valanciunas just seems like a guy that, you know, will be able to dominate him as far as size is concerned. I could be wrong. Don't get me... I mean, I'm trying to pull up Jonas here.
Not good. Yeah, I mean, look, Valanciunas isn't necessarily a guy that, you know, I would shy away from. I mean, me personally being 5'10", and Jonas being, you know, well over 7 feet there. I mean, you know, I think Hernan Gomez could have some success today. I do think, you know, with the spread being 2.5, I think that's kind of allowing the Knicks to have a lot more hopeful of an outlook than, you know, we probably would usually give them. So, yeah, I mean, I don't mind. And again, too, if Porzingis is out, then that does a lot more for Willie's game as well.
Yeah, Jonas is 7 foot 265, so he's got 25 pounds on him. You know, it's kind of one of those things that, I don't know. I'm going to have to look a little bit deeper into it, because I think GHG on a 7-game slate is going to be extremely popular. Just looking, kind of looking at the center position today, it's not, I mean, you've got Towns over 10. You got Hassan Whiteside, which we'll talk about, you know, at 8-7. I mean, Dwight Howard's in a perceived good matchup. I mean, but... It's not that deep today, guys, and that's one of the things that scares me with GHG is if he's going to be popular going against Jonas, it's kind of one of those things that's very, very hard to really sell myself on with the initial perceived ownership.
Fair enough. What do you think about rolling out DeMar DeRozan today? I mean, obviously, if Kyle Lowry's out, that's going to do a lot more for his outlook. But, you know, just overall, what do you think about him?
Yeah, with the Vegas line that I've got right now, it looks like Kyle Lowry's going to be out. You know, and not only that, but let's just talk about Kyle Lowry for a second. The perceived or the PR debacle that's going on, did you hear that he hurt his wrist before the All-Star break? And did you see during the All-Star game that he actually had it wrapped in ice and everything and then still participated in everything? And did then not. All of a sudden he can't play out coming out of the All-Star break.
That is, I try not to pay attention to Canadian hoops as much as possible.
Well, they're relevant. So if they ever get Kyle Lowry back, they'll be relevant. Look, this is a huge hit for. I know we haven't talked about it since being on there because we had no idea on Friday that Kyle Lowry was going to sit. But you know, this is a huge hit for the Toronto Raptors. I mean. If he's out, I mean, Corey Joseph is still very, very cheap on FanDuel. He's $4,400. The problem is if we go over to DraftKings, he is no longer the value that he once was. He is $5,200 on DraftKings. I still like him, don't get me wrong, because if we go back and we look at it, I mean... Corey Joseph has played, let's see here, since Kyle Lowry's been out, 36 minutes coming out of the break. He's not quite at a fantasy point per minute, but he's paying off his salary. I love it for cash games. We've seen this guy at times have, you know, 35, 40 point upside. You know, that game against Brooklyn where Lowry sat. Surprisingly, he played 37 minutes. He had a 42. Now I know it's Brooklyn, but you know, New York's not much better as far as the point guard matchup is concerned.
No, you know, the one thing I was going to say with Joseph is those two games that, you know, he started here in the absence of Lowry, those are both really good matchups. I mean, number one, you know, Friday night, we saw that against Boston. Isaiah Thomas, you know, much has been documented of, you know, him being the worst on-ball defender in the NBA. By the way, he's like a whole point and a half almost worse than the second lowest guy, which is insane. And that's a year after being like number one against point guards the previous year. But both matchups there against the Celtics and against the Blazers, those are probably two of the best matchups for point guards out there. And the fact that he's only putting up 25, 26 fantasy points on FanDuel over there in those games, a little worrisome if you ask me. But I will say 4,400 on FanDuel is pretty damn appealing.
Yeah. It definitely is.
Now, nailed Melo right
on
the screws.
We never answered the DeMar DeRozan question. I think he's in play. And here's the reason why.
Okay.
He's 8,500 on FanDuel. Usually it's that 9,000 range that we are, you know, clicking at. The problem is he's 8,900 on DraftKings. He's more expensive on DraftKings because they are tighter in their pricing. I think he's going to have a little bit lower ownership on DraftKings for two reasons. One, he's $8,900. You only get a $50,000 salary cap. So as far as percentage of salary cap, it's a little bit more. And his opponent rank on DraftKings, which if this is something that you're not paying attention to, you really should. Because of the fact that, you know, you can use it to your advantage, is at a 10. Meaning that they are saying that the New York Knicks are 10th in DVP against the shooting guard.
Interesting. Very interesting.
So you can use it to your advantage. Now, I think if we should have news of this, you know, pretty... If this is one of the early games. And it's one of those things that we've got to really, really pay attention to, because if the line keeps moving up like it has been, in the Toronto favor, then I think that we can get off of DeMar DeRozan. But if it stays within 3.5 points, because Brandon Jennings shouldn't move the line a half a point, to be honest, at least in my opinion. But I don't know. It's one of our Slack guys are absolutely freaking on point this morning.
Are you kidding? I am not the. Well, I'm not gonna say.
We'll get to that when we talk about Sacramento.
I am not that.
But if this line keeps moving, then I think we can get off DeMar DeRozan. But it's all going to be an ownership play for me because the total's 212. But DeMar DeRozan's going to try to do everything that he possibly can. I mean, we're looking at the last two games, 45 and 53. That's still kind of paying off his salary on FanDuel. If we go by 5.5, it's 46. If we go by 6, that's, a little bit more times 6. That's 51. So he's still got profit capabilities. And, we've seen this guy put up close to 60 without Lauer in the lineup. So I think it's an option. I don't think it's the best option as of right now. So.
Fair enough. Look, with Melo on Saturday, who's a big favorite of mine, I like using him when the Vegas lines dictate, the Knicks could have some success. Typically, that's not a lot. I should preface this by saying I like using Melo when the Vegas line dictates it, and Kristaps Porzingis is not in the mix. But
or DeMarre Carroll.
Yeah.
And Serge Ibaka.
What's interesting here is that the Jennings thing kind of affects him a little bit here too, because Melo's rotation goes is such that he plays a lot of the first quarter, so he's out there with the second unit a lot. Without Jennings there, he's probably going to see every single shot there with the second unit. So that could be something to look out for.
Not every single shot. I do like there is a guy I do like in this game that's a little bit
every single shot.
That's a little bit sneaky, in my opinion. Kyle Quinn. He's going to play anywhere between 20 to 25 minutes. He's one of the highest fantasy point per minute guys in the NBA, especially at the center position. I've been playing him quite regularly since Joakim Noah's been out. Now, if Noah's in, it causes an absolute complete shit show. But I've been playing him quite regularly, and because they'll throw Porzingis at the 4 and him at the 5, they can switch him and put a Quinn at the 4 and him at the 5. So it kind of just depends. But I really do like Kyle Quinn as a tournament play today.
All right, let's get to the next game here. We got the Cleveland Cavaliers, 8.5-point favorites against the Milwaukee Bucks. This one's in Cleveland, by the way. Over under 218.5 for this game. In terms of injuries and tendencies and whatnot, Chris Middleton is actually going to be out for rest purposes tonight. Didn't even make the trip to Cleveland. LeBron James, questionable with the illness. Kyle Korver, also questionable for tonight's game. Didn't get a reason, but he is questionable. And then, of course, Kevin Love out indefinitely. When we look at the season series, the Cavs, they've gotten the better of the Bucks. They won two of these games, a pretty decent margin. Cavs 8-3 against the Bucks in their last 11 meetings, but have only covered it 5 times. The interesting number here, 9 of the last 11 games in this series have gone over the total. That'll happen when you got two freakishly big athletes on each side of the court. So, I mean, look, if LeBron does end up missing this game, that's going to put Kyrie Irving in another good spot. However, Milwaukee, second fewest points allowed to the point guard position this season in terms of fantasy points. So what are we making of all this?
I believe Kyrie absolutely just tore Matthew Dellavedova a new one last time that these two played in Cleveland. Like, we were all over the Matthew Dellavedova homecoming because he was going to have a little tribute and everything, and he went out and shit the bed. Excuse my language. I know we're trying to, you know, get a wider view of audience.
Shit,
but...
fuck.
You get on to me for being...
I would never get on anybody for using offensive language ever.
oh man. But yeah,
I have cleared dining rooms before with my mouth.
Where in never mind. Catholic jokes are gonna be happening this morning. but you go back and you look at it, and I'm actually trying to pull it up right now. And let's see here. Milwaukee. 42.25 FanDuel points last time they played in Milwaukee. The first time at Milwaukee is 25. And I believe – oh, the next game, right after they went to Milwaukee and he put up a – 39.5, he dropped at 55.7. So yeah, Kyrie Irving kind of owns this matchup, and he's come out and talked about how Matthew Dellavedova was kind of inspiring to him. It was kind of one of those things that was kind of nice to him. And he really, really, really was just kind of one of those things that, you know, he gets kind of jacked up for this.
You know exactly why that is. Like, you got to think about it. You got a guy like Dellavedova, you know, who nobody even heard about until he made it to the Cavs. And, you know, he's basically trying to prove himself each time out there. And, you know, again, we talk about him.
He's like an Australian Patrick Beverley.
Yes, exactly. You know, we talk about him being a good defender, but he's just a pain in the ass is really what it comes down to. So, you know, Kyrie's had to, you know, deal with that matchup pretty much every single day. I know the Cavs don't really, or most NBA teams don't practice that much, but when they do, you know, that's a matchup that, you know, look, Kyrie's one of the best players in the league, you know, so to have some asshole, you know, playing his heart out in practice each day, yeah, of course it's going to fire him up.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of one of those things that you really, really, really want to pay attention to. I love Kyrie Irving in this matchup. I don't care. I think he's going to be lower owned. LeBron James did miss shoot around today with an illness, so we could have another situation where Kyrie's kind of chalk. Look, we saw what Kyrie Irving did the other day when LeBron missed. And I don't think LeBron's missing because of a quote-unquote illness. I think they're just sitting him to get ready for the playoffs, because really, they've got a 5-game lead now in the East. I wouldn't be surprised to see Kyrie Irving come down with a quote-unquote illness at some point.
That is highly speculative.
They've got a 5-game lead. Sorry, a 4-game lead. Over Boston. And Boston's now got a 2-game lead over Washington, and Toronto's now dropped down to the 4 seed. Good job, Kyle Lowry. Good job. Sorry. I like Kyle Lowry. I really, really do. But what you just did was, that was hurt. That was bad. Sorry, they've got a 3-game lead. I don't think Boston's going to catch them.
It keeps dropping by the minute. By the time we're done with this podcast, they're going to be Boston? 5 games out of the number one spot.
No kidding. But, you know, I don't think that Boston's going to catch them. I would like to see it. It would be nice, but I don't think it's going to happen. You've got to really, really, really kind of start thinking to yourself, okay, they're going to get LeBron James at his age has played more minutes. I think he leads the NBA in minutes per game. Last time I had checked.
He does. Yeah.
So you knew this was kind of coming. Fire up Kyrie Irving. I didn't like it when I said it the other day. I like it more on DraftKings just because I think he's $3,000. I'm looking here, but I'm going to throw out a name to you, and you tell me, and I hope you don't puke. He's 3,100. I'm sorry. Richard Jefferson. He put up a 16.25 the other day. And now, I know that's not fantastic or anything, but, you know, at 3,100, he's some value that you need if you have to go there. You know, so he's an option. Obviously, you've got, Channing Frye, who's way too expensive for me to even think about playing. I don't care if he is going to play 32, 35 minutes. He's got to absolutely light it up from the field and contribute in the rebounds in order to pay off his price now, because he's on the back end of his career. But I do like Derek Williams a little bit. You know, he's playing 23 to 27 minutes a game. This is kind of a good matchup for him a little bit. He's going to be getting the likes of Thonmaker, Michael Beasley, who should be getting the start tonight for Chris Middleton. I mean, I kind of like that. It's not a great option, but it's a sneaky little tournament option if you're looking to try to go a little bit balls to the wall tonight.
Fair enough. Tristan Thompson's also kind of interesting for this one. I mean, you know, Milwaukee's very undersized. I know, you know, you got Thonmaker there, who's a big bastard in the paint there for the Bucks. But, you know, again, especially if LeBron's out for this game, I think this could open up a lot more for Tristan Thompson. I know he's a little bit expensive, but he's posted some pretty good FDP totals here over the last couple games. You know, Saturday night excluding, of course. But he could be interesting against this Bucks team, just in a height sort of way.
Yeah, and so is – well, there goes that idea. I was about to say, so is Greg Monroe. But I don't like his – it's Jason Kidd. I mean, he plays 34 minutes against Phoenix and 21 against Utah. I would think it should have been the other way around. And then 34 against Brooklyn. He was playing, you know, 25 to 30 minutes a game the three games going into the All-Star break and was absolutely just going bananas. And then against Utah, he doesn't get the minutes. And then Phoenix, he does. He's 6,400. I think he's going to be low-owned. I do like it because I'm going to go with the minutes trend and say three out of the last four, even though three out of the last five, sorry. He's played at least 25 minutes and out of the last five, he's played over 30 minutes. Two of those were before the All-Star break, but I'd be willing to take a shot on him on tournaments because it is a pretty decent matchup. And if he gets the minutes, he can be a sneaky tournament play.
Indeed. Yeah, we have to wonder if Monroe is like doing some weird shit behind the scenes that we don't know about, because it's just it baffles me.
I just think, you know, sometimes how he just doesn't get an NBA coach.
I don't know. I mean, it is weird what they say, right? Like, I know in baseball all the time they say that, you know, kind of mediocre players make the best managers, you know, just because they never like had to rely on talent alone. But I don't know, man. Jason Kidd, the greatest New Jersey Net in their franchise's history. It's a little weird how he's this much of a pain in the ass. But, hey, he led us to the playoffs, so that was a long time ago. Yeah, all right, let's get to the next one.
I actually have a question for you because we didn't talk about the elephant in the room. Okay, we know that Giannis gets up to play games against guys like, you know, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook. Sure. You know, guys like that. With LeBron, if LeBron's out, do we have interest in Giannis, even though he's not – I mean, he's 10-9 now. Even though he's not going against LeBron, this game is in Cleveland, and I think it's the NBA fan night game. It's one of those – I think it's the first part
TNT.
Oh, it's on TNT? Wow, TNT's doing a Monday game?
Yeah.
Shows you what I do about paying attention to this.
On ESPN, they have them list. They have three TN. There's one of those games, isn't it? It's one of the later two ones. But yeah, they're on TNT at 7 o'clock tonight, Eastern, of course.
I think I kind of like that. I think the fact that it's a TNT game. Yep, watch live on TNT overtime. I think
you got that one, and then you got Pacers at Rockets in the later.
Oh, that'll be a good game.
Hey, Pacers thumped them last time.
You know, Milwaukee is a game out of the eighth spot. Right now, it's kind of a four-way. Maybe a five-way, but really more of a four-way race for that eighth spot. We've got four teams within three games of each other for that eighth spot. I think Jason Kidd needs to make the playoffs in order to kind of save his job. I know that's a hot take, but and maybe it's my frustration with Jason Kidd.
Scorching.
But, you know, it's – kind of one of those things that you've got to really pay attention to. But I think I think I do like Giannis, even though he is 10-9. I think he's going to be extremely low owned because I don't think people really like paying 10-9 for Giannis and Antetokounmpo.
I don't.
Well, good luck to you tonight.
I know. All right, let's get to the next one. Warriors at the Sixers. This one, Warriors 13.5 point favorites here. A total of 230.5. This is actually one of two games that has at least a 230 total tonight. In terms of who is sitting and playing and whatnot. Remember Kevin Durant missed the last game. He's questionable with the hand injury. Joel Embiid's going to be out. Apparently going to be out indefinitely now. Sixers being very cautious with him, which I totally agree with.
Absolutely.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. These teams have not met this season, but remember the Sixers played them very close last time. Last season, I'm sorry. Warriors have won the last four meetings between these teams. However, the Sixers are 3-1 against the spread in that span. One of the points being the spread's always like 40. Three of the last four games in the series have also gone under the total, so keep that in mind. If Kevin Durant is out tonight, I mean, obviously all the big Warriors names are in play, you know, here with the 230.5 total. But anything specifically you're looking at here?
Kevin Durant was just upgraded to probable.
Okay.
So I'm kind of my analysis for this game, because I thought they would sit him again. there's just no reason to play. There's just no reason to play him. But you got two options in this game. I think it's an interesting game stack. I think you can get some lower owned players. I don't think that with Houston as a later game, Boston and Atlanta going, you know, the Warriors guys are going to be extremely highly owned. Especially if Durant's back. I think it makes an interesting game stack, obviously, because of the total. But I do think that there is some good plays and some not-so-good plays in this game. The first good play I like is, obviously, Kevin Durant, if he's back. I know Robert Covington is somebody that we don't particularly attack, but if you can get an elite player, and Kevin Durant is an elite player, newsflash, if we can get an elite player at under 10% owned, which I think he will be, especially coming off of an injury and the fact that it's the Golden State Warriors playing the Philly, and everybody's going to try to predict the blowout and do all this other stuff. I like him in a tournament play. Obviously, you can't touch him for cash games because he could play three quarters and be done. But his price is basically based off of three quarters. So I think he's a good option in tournaments. I think Steph at 93, at only 9,300 is a good option, and I think Clay at 7,100 is a good option. Now, the elephant in the room, or the big question is what the hell do we do with Draymond Green? as one of our Slack buddies. You hate him because he kicks people in the nuts.
Among other things.
Yeah, as one of our Slack buddies has pointed out, he's played less than 25 minutes in four straight games. Now, I only take two of those into consideration because Kerr did say that some of these guys have heavy legs going into the All-Star break.
Sure.
So the last two games, though, he's only played 23 minutes. I'll have to look at the game flow to see if that was foul trouble or what. I know he was in foul trouble, a little bit of concern the last game, but it's still something that you have to take in consideration. I don't know what I'm going to do with Draymond Green. I would like to see him play 30 minutes. And if he plays 30 minutes, I think you're going to get him at a very, very cheap discount. And it makes guys like – it makes Dario Saric unplayable, by the way. I don't pick on Draymond Green defense unless you're going to play some of the five as well.
I don't know unplayable, but
– at 7,000?
I think the upside – is probably going to be capped, probably like 30. But I'm not going to be surprised if he – I mean, look, this is a game with a 230 and a half total. I don't think defense is going to be much of an issue here. So
I would rather go
look, what other options do the Sixers have? They do have options. I'm just saying that – you know, points are going to be scored, and they're probably going to be done by Saric, Covington. I even see McConnell having a pretty good game here. Okafor, of course. I mean, you know, Duke, one-year graduate. But, I mean, yeah, points are going to get scored here, so I'm not too worried about that. Again, Saric will have good defense on him tonight, whether it's going to be Durant or it's going to be Draymond. Those are probably the only two people he's going to see tonight. But, again, I'll take opportunity over price more nights than not.
Yeah, but you got to sit there and think about it. I mean, you're going against Durant and Draymond. Those are two of the better defenders at their position in the NBA right now. I mean, Durant's having the best defensive year that he's ever had. Thanks a lot, by the way. You know, I mean, Dario Saric, yes, he's a good player. He's an up-and-coming player. But I think with the ownership percentage that you're going to see on him – now, I'm not talking about a complete fade, obviously. But I am talking about, you know, making it to where he's not an automatic plug-and-play to me.
No, and yeah, that's an interesting situation.
Wouldn't you rather play Rashawn Holmes, who's playing – who's going to play close to 20 to 25 minutes for $3,000 less, basically?
Maybe. I don't see the – look, for this game, the Sixers are going to need to score, right? So I feel like Covington and Saric are going to be their main players in this one. Newsflash. So, again, I think they're going to see too many shots. Now, you are right on the fact that it's not necessarily an automatic plug and play, but how many other people are also thinking the same way that you are? I mean, I'm sure people are going to be thinking, you know, this matchup and see, Durant and Dre are going to be on Saric tonight. I'm sure there's going to be a lot less ownership on Saric than, you know, we've seen in the past couple days. Another hot take since he was like 70% owned on Saturday.
Yeah, but I mean,
35, 40, something along those lines.
It's still too high for me. I mean, it's less than 70%, but if you're telling me that a guy going against Draymond Green and Kevin Durant's going to be 35 to 40% owned. I mean, unless he's, you know, I used to be able to say, unless it's Kevin Durant doing it, but unless it's Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins, because those are the two best big men in the game right now. I'm sorry. 30
well, to... you don't have to. I mean, you don't have to be sorry. I mean, you bring up quite a valid point. But, you know, the fact that this game has a 230 and a half total on it, There's going to be a lot of shot attempts, and you know, I'll be damned if it's not this guy putting in most of them for the Sixers.
Yeah.
You bring up a valid point.
I know Robert Covington's going against Durant, but he's also going to go up against Andre Iguodala, but there's not a lot of options, like you said. I'm not talking about a full-on complete fade of Dario Saric. I think he's absolutely just – he's played amazing since the trade of Nerlens Noel. And Robert Covington has too. But I just –
It's tough. Now, given all the different matchups and whatnot, I kind of feel like Klay Thompson could be the forgotten man in this whole thing. And
I agree.
You know, we're gonna see TJ McConnell on Stephen Curry tonight, which, you know, again, I don't feel like McConnell is a great defender. He's just more of a pain in the ass, and sometimes that works more. But you got pretty good matchups with Covington on Durant if he plays. I should preface, by the way. Yeah, we got to wait and see what happens with these injuries. But as is right now, with Durant listed as probable, I think that's going to leave Klay Thompson with the matchup on, you know, Gerald Henderson, I'm sure, is going to get the start. You know, he'll see time against Nick Stauskas as well. That is by far the best matchup for the Warriors tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody's trying to. I'm not going to name their name because they don't deserve it for this one, but somebody's trying to pimp out Nick Stauskas. Klay Thompson is an underrated defender in the NBA, so I'm definitely not going to Nick Stauskas tonight. So.
Sauce Castillo. Sauce
is not. All right.
Any final thoughts on this one?
No, I think we've spent too much time on it already.
Cool beans. All right, Atlanta Hawks at the Boston Celtics. Celtics open up as 5-point favorites in this one, currently at 4.5. Money line -185. We got a total here of 211.5, which is it seems a little smaller as compared to the 230 we were just talking about. But hey, look, we've got the premier point guard matchups, it seems like, for both teams. So let's start there.
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas, you play him.
Okay.
I mean, we've been picking on Atlanta guards all, and I keep forgetting to do it. Who was it the other night that they played? Orlando with Elfrid Payton.
I did it.
I know you did. I completely just, it flew over me like a freaking jet, and I heard Flip. The sound after he put up the 40 spot, which is, in comparison, a 40 spot better. For Elfrid Payton is like a 60 spot for, you know, most point guards in the league. I'm playing Isaiah Thomas, and I'm playing a lot of them. On the other hand, you know, didn't Dennis Schroeder come off the bench yesterday too?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so, or sorry, Saturday. He played 31 minutes coming off the bench. I actually kind of like that move, and we've talked about it a lot. If he stays coming off the bench, I like playing Dennis Schroeder because he's going to get the usage with the second team. I think it's something that they're probably – I don't think they're pissed at Dennis Schroeder anymore. I think it was just him not taking care of business a little bit. He served his suspension. He paid it. You know, playing 31 minutes off the bench is not a bad thing for Dennis Schroeder. I kind of like that move a little bit, and I don't think Malcolm Delaney's in play.
Yeah, I like your thinking there with Schroeder because, I mean, look, he's typically playing, 31 minutes that much anyway. You'll see the big misnomer in his game log with the 42 minutes at Portland, but remember that game went to overtime. But, yeah, I mean, look, the 31 is pretty much what he usually plays, and now he's going against, you know, shittier competition, although – in this Boston matchup, we do want the matchup against Isaiah Thomas, and look, I'm sure he'll get it at some point this game. So
yeah, I think he'll get it a little bit more because I think Marcus Smart's going to be on Tim Hardaway Jr. a little bit. So, and somebody said that they played KCP yesterday, and I was like, why would you do that? So it just, you know, like, there's defenders we just don't target against. And Marcus Smart is, say what you want about him flopping, and I understand it, trust me. Say what you want about it. But why, we just don't do it. It's just not fun.
I'm not completely scared of it, but yeah, he is a good defender. Yeah. Is Isaiah Thomas ever going to score 50-plus fantasy points again?
He came close yesterday. Well, maybe. Yeah. 43. Yeah, I think he will. You know, he... I think defense has started keying on him a little bit. I think
Good point. I was going to mention that. Good point.
I think they started to go away from. I think they started to try to get a little bit too cute and go away from him in the fourth quarter because everybody they were like, well, everybody's going to key on Isaiah Thomas in the fourth quarter. Let's try to exploit matchups. Yeah, just don't do that. Like, and I don't think it was Brad Stevens that was really wanting to do that. I think it was just kind of happening. You know, it's just don't do that. So yeah, I think he could, and tonight could be that night. So I think he's going to be popular, but I don't think that it's a bad play even with how popular he's going to be, just because he is kind of good. Hashtag really good. So
that point that you brought up about you know, teams focusing more on him, I noticed it a lot in that Toronto game, and I guess it's easy to say since he only had, you know, 28 fantasy points there. But yeah, Toronto made an extended effort to make sure that he was not doing any one-on-ones at ever.
And we had kind of talked about that a little bit on Friday because we had said that he normally had struggled a lot against Toronto except for the last couple times.
Right.
So it wasn't out of, you know, out of question for him to struggle in that game because we've seen it before. You know, he went on an unbelievable hot streak, you know, to be able to, you know, get over the matchup kind of misnomer that we always talk about. So,
yeah, and you know what's interesting here too is that I talked about this the other day with somebody in the Slack chat, but Atlanta was so good against point guards last year. And one of the reasons that they did was, you know, as soon as the point guard would bring the ball past half court, they would kind of put, you know, two bodies on them, not really, you know, they would really take away the point guard from, you know, the other team's game plan. I thought that was a really smart move. I don't know, you know, if all that has gone to shit since, you know, Jeff Teague is in Indiana now, but I haven't seen Atlanta do that at all this season.
So I think it's a combination of two things. It's one, it's Dwight Howard being in the middle. You know, you got to remember they had Al Horford and Paul Millsap that could kind of interchange at the four and the five. So they were a little bit more athletic. You know, they had Jeff Teague that could trap with, you know, either Kyle Korver or Kent Bazemore was playing a lot of the two last year. So, Kent Bazemore is actually kind of a pretty decent defender. Tim Hardaway Jr. is not. So when you have guys like Kent Bazemore, Thabo Sefolosha, and then the swing 4-5 combo of Al Horford and Paul Millsap, you know, you're looking at a very athletic lineup. So I think that had a lot to do with it. Now, Atlanta still plays great overall team defense. They're not a team that allows a lot of, you know, as long as they show up, because we've seen them just absolutely just forget to show up to the arena at times. But usually when they show up, they're a pretty good team defense or defensively oriented team. So I still like the matchups, though. I'm still not shying away from it, especially at the point guard position.
One interesting bit of news that I saw here, well, you know, other than the fact that Horford's taken on his former team, but the fact that Avery Bradley, and this is to quote Brad Stevens, is any day now away from returning, I believe he said. So, you know, that is also something to look at. You know, that'll affect how, you know, certain things work with the Celtics. But
Newsflash, I need to interrupt you on this one. Be careful if you think about playing Derrick Rose tonight. There is chatter that he could be bought out and released today.
Shut up, really?
Yeah. This is, there's a lot of chatter around the NBA that the Knicks might also release Derrick Rose. Phil Jackson is obviously not afraid to be fired.
Wow. Holy shit. That's crazy. So,
just be careful.
Wow. Hey, could have had Ricky Rubio, but okay. Anything else in this game that we're taking a look at? I mean, you know, Dwight Howard against the Boston front line should be good. Even Millsap in the same situation. So anything else here?
Dwight Howard sucks. Wow. I mean, I had so much Dwight Howard. I mean, the last game he played 21.6. He only played 24 minutes against Boston, and a lot of us were on him that night. I think Boston is going to force Atlanta to try to go small again, and that's going to put Millsap at the five. They could put Ilyasova. I think Ilyasova is very interesting tonight. If you want to go to that kind of theory that they're going to force Atlanta to go small again, I think Ilyasova could be interesting. I'm going to have to look into it more. I might go back and watch this game to see exactly what happened. But Mike Muscala, the last game against Boston, played 18 minutes. And when Mike Muscala is playing more than 10 minutes, then there's something that's going on. So I think they could put Millsap at the five and Ilyasova at the four and try to go small to match up against Boston. But, it's something that I'm not going to pay $7,000 for Dwight Howard, even in the perceived good matchup. And if Dwight Howard is the guy that beats me, then I'll just break all my computer screens and TVs.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the next game.
Oh, absolutely. Because there's next game.
Indiana Pacers at the Houston Rockets. Rockets 10-point favorites here at -600 on the money line.
Whoa, did we skip one?
Nights. Nope.
We did. Miami and Dallas starts before Indiana and Houston.
The site I'm looking at. All right. Let's just go with the other one so I don't look stupid. All right.
No, you're fine. I thought we might have talked about it because there's not a lot in this game. So.
I think this game got a time change to it.
The reason.
This is the other 230 total on the slate that we talked about earlier. In terms of the matchup, the Pacers kicked the shit out of the Rockets in the first meeting between these two teams this season. That was a 120-101 beatdown in Indiana. Rockets are 3-2 straight up and against the spread against the Pacers in their last five meetings. Three of these five games, the last games in this series, have surprisingly gone under the total. But look, 230, I think they're trying to tell us something. Where do we begin?
Let's talk about James Harden.
Okay, I like him. I like him very much.
30 and 35 minutes. Okay. We're not worried about the minutes. But ever since they got Lou Williams, 40 and 44, he's 12-1. He's not having to shoulder a lot of the offensive burden.
Right.
I think now let's look at this here because I do believe the assists have stayed the same, if not gone up more consistently. Okay. Double-digit assists in his last two games. Three games, but I'm talking about with Lou Williams, double-digit assists.
Sure.
Not as many rebounds, okay, and not as many points. I think this is exactly what the Rockets wanted.
Yeah, because absolutely. And if you take a look, like if you click on his name on FanDuel, you know how they do that graph with the up down with the charts there.
Yeah,
you'll just see exactly what you were talking about on that alone.
So I think people are going to just blindly roster James Harden.
Right.
His usage since they got Lou Williams has gone down 4 points. It was at a 38. Now it's at like a 33. It's not something that I'm going to be interested in, to be completely honest. Now, could James Harden obviously go out there and drop a 75 spot? Yes. I'm not saying that. But we're talking about a guy that now has dropped in usage. In two games, he's dropped in usage rate because he's not taking the shots. His shot attempts are just not what they were before the All-Star break. I also think that they kind of put Paul George on him a little bit. And even though Paul George is not the defender that he once was, he's still a very, very capable defender. You know, he took 9 shots against New Orleans. 9. This is a guy that was averaging 24 shots a game. He took 15 the last game. So he was a little bit more aggressive, which showed up. But they just don't want him to – they just don't need him to do it anymore. Look, you got Eric Gordon. You got Lou Williams now. You've got Ryan Anderson. He's got guys that can take shots for him. And this is exactly what I think Houston wanted. They didn't want his body – they want him to be ready to kind of take over in the playoffs if he needs to. They don't need him to take over in the regular season because, let's be honest, San Antonio is not losing 4 games the rest of the season enough for Houston to make up that 4-game swing. Your top three in the Western Conference are pretty much determined at Golden State, San Antonio, Houston. Now it's just what are the next 4 going to do in between Utah, the Clippers, Memphis, and Oklahoma City, because that's only a 3-game swing between those 4 teams. And it could get jumbled up in any which way, because we play Utah on Tuesday night, which is a huge game. We still have, I think, another meeting with Memphis, and I think we still have another meeting with the Clippers.
To be clear, you're talking about OKC. Me and you are not taking these teams on together.
Oh, I'd take them on, but, I mean...
That would end, Ben.
Yeah, that would... I mean, you just want to roster everybody against me now. we're like the Brooklyn Nets of the NBA.
Whoa.
Well, we're both the same player, so...
That is true. That is true.
I'm not...
So wouldn't we be the Chicago Bulls?
True.
Touche. Touche.
I'm not rostering James Harden. I will roster... Eric Gordon, I will roster Lou Williams. I will not roster Ryan Anderson at home because everybody was on him the other night. And what did we tell you? Now, yes, he has put up, you know, at least 14 points in the last 5 games. And he is only 4,800. But he's just – that's his ceiling right now. Like, I know he has 50-point upside, 40-point upside. But it's just not happening without an injury because he's not playing the amount of minutes. He's only playing 24 minutes coming out of the All-Star break because now they've got to add in the 24 minutes that Lou Williams is playing. You know, this is – and now Eric Gordon, as long as Patrick Beverley's in, he's going to only be playing 30 minutes, but he doesn't do enough. I mean, it's a great move. But it really hurts the fantasy value, especially since these guys are starting to get priced up there.
Yeah, definitely. By the way, that game against the Timberwolves, that was like the 50th time that Ryan Anderson's torched the Timberwolves this season. But, you know, the interesting thing here is that you got Eric Gordon, who, you know, we're talking about on FanDuel, and he's at 5,300, and he is playing, you know, 30, 32 minutes per game. And then you got Lou Williams, who is $1,000 more than him, but playing slightly less minutes. So that is an interesting dynamic to look at. And, you know, we take a look at this game, you know, from the Vegas side of things, you know, 10-point spread, 230. I mean, you got to think some of these bench guys are going to put up some pretty good numbers here. So I think if it's going to be anybody, my best 2 guesses are going to be Eric Gordon or Lou Williams to have the bigger nights out of anybody.
Yeah,
on the Rockets.
I like Lou Williams better on DraftKings than I do on FanDuel, and I like Aaron Gordon on both sites. The reason is Lou Williams is only 5,400 on DraftKings, and he's point guard eligible.
Oh, my.
along with shooting guard eligible, I believe. Yes. So I like him better over there. Eric Gordon is 5,000 on DraftKings and 52 or 53 on FanDuel, so I like them both there. They're both going to put up double-digit shots, and if they shoot better than 35% from the field, then they're going to pay off their value pretty quickly. So, I kind of like that. They would be probably the only because. They would be probably where I would attack Indiana at. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Speaking of Indiana and where to attack at, look, Monta Ellis, I know you don't like him, but if you do need the salary relief tonight, oh my God, I did not see that.
Yeah, he's only in play on DraftKings. He's 4,000 still
Son
on DraftKings.
Bitch. All right, yeah, so DraftKings, you can roll with them over there. And, again, this is probably a good spot for bench guys in this one with such a high total and a high spread in this game that, you know, the big names could certainly be the ones that disappoint. And, you know, guys like Monta Ellis, dare I even say a Rodney Stuckey, guys like that.
See, okay, so
could actually
let's
absolutely surprise here.
Let's kind of play this out a little bit. So we've got okay. Beverly on Teague. We've got Teague on Beverly, or Eric Gordon, whoever mm-hmm. I think didn't Patrick Beverly didn't play yesterday, did he? I don't think he did.
I have no idea.
Anyways, so we've got that matchup. We think that Paul George is going to be on James Harden.
Beverly did play yesterday. No, Saturday.
They're not on a back-to-back, so yeah, it's Saturday. I thought I saw that he was going to be out, but maybe that was the other day. Because I thought I saw that Eric Gordon started a game.
I know what you saw.
So we've got we've got Teague and Beverly. We've got Paul George and James Harden. And then that means we've got Trevor Ariza and Miles Turner. Or sorry, not Miles Turner. Monta Ellis. So does that mean okay. that we attack with possibly a Thaddeus Young against Ryan Anderson or a Miles Turner against Clint Capella?
I like the Young play.
Because and if we flip it around, who's going to get the James Harden defense? Is he going to be on Monta Ellis or is he going to be on Jeff Teague? Because we know Ariza is going to be on George.
What has been Indiana doing with their starting lineup lately? Because, you know, sometimes CJ Miles could pop in there. You got, who else? Glenn Robinson, the third. I mean, some of those guys could be in play here as well.
Let's see here. The last game that Indiana played, which was Saturday.
Saturday.
It was C.J. Miles, Thaddeus Young, Miles Turner, Jeff Teague, and Paul George. So C.J. Miles is starting at the two. I don't know. I'm going to have to look into it a little bit more. I want to try to attack James Harden, but I'm not sure if there's going to be a definitive answer to who's going to be on James Harden the most. So that's kind of interesting for me. But yeah, I can't blindly just plug in guys from a 230 total for there being two 230 totals on this slate. Neither one of them are appeasing at all. Like
I think the Golden State Philly one is a little more, but I there are some questionable spots there.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
Anything else on this one before we move on?
No.
Fair enough. All right. Miami Heat at the Dallas Mavericks. Heat minus 1 point favorites in this one. Actually opened up as Dallas is the 1 point favorite. So 2 point swing there. The lowest total by far of the night at 200.5. in terms of injuries, it's just J.J. Barea for the Mavs. The Heat won the only meeting this season as a four-point win in Miami. Heat 4-1 straight up and against the spread versus the Mavs in their last five meetings. And no shocker here, the last five games in the series have gone under the total. As Richard Sherman once coined, poop fest. But anything that we could take away from this one?
I don't think so. Maybe Seth Curry. Dirk has been playing very, very well lately, by the way. We've seen a kind of a resurgence. You know, he's got over 27 fantasy points in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight games. Some of those were actually kind of tougher matchups against Detroit and Utah.
Which works for him, because the last time that we saw this Mavs Heat game, you know, Dirk did pretty well, you know, pulling Whiteside out to the perimeter. So
yeah, we do have to point out that Willie Reed did not travel with the team, so he is going to be out. So that's going to open up a couple extra minutes probably for James Johnson, Hassan Whiteside, and unfortunately Udonis Haslam.
Boo.
Or Luke Babbitt, one of the two.
Who's not even on FanDuel today.
Luke Babbitt?
Yep.
Yeah, he is. He's 3,500. I'm sitting here looking at him.
He's there. Okay. Nah, you know what FanDuel did? I feel like they took like all the bench warmers off the player list today. I don't know. He just passed me. But yeah, he's all the way down at the bottom. So forgive me.
I'm interested to see if they put in Nerlens in the starting lineup. I don't think I have any interest in Nerlens Noel either way. He did play 30 minutes coming off the bench against New Orleans. That was a tougher matchup against Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. So that could be something to watch out for. This isn't the greatest matchup going against James Johnson. But if I think they're going to play Nerlens at the 5 and Dirk at the 4 more. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm trying to find out... because the last time that these two teams played, in the first quarter when New Orleans checked in, he checked in for Dirk, basically. Now, they were on the court at the same time at the end of the first quarter, going into the second quarter. But it looks like Rick Carlisle was very hesitant to kind of play them together. So, it's very interesting. I would have figured they would have played them together. So, it's not like, you know, Nerlens is playing the 5 and Dirk is playing the 4. It looks like they're kind of subbing them in for each other and very rarely playing them together on the court at the same time. So, with that, I'm kind of off of Nerlens a little bit. I don't really know what I want to do with the guard situation. Yogi Ferrell has not been playing well. I know they're still high on him, but he's not been playing well. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that he's just not taking shots. I mean, he's 9-9-9, and he's not hitting them either. I mean, he's 3-4-14 in threes the last three games.
Yeah, that's not good. You know, it's interesting, and it's not even a – this is more for down the road somewhere, but, you know, our favorite list in the entire league, the DRPM list, Yogi is showing – I think he's like the fourth worst or somewhere near the very bottom of the list. But you have Dallas – you know, as the number one team against point guards in terms of, you know, allowing the fewest fantasy points. So in the future, that might be something to take a look at, maybe just in terms of, you know, lower ownership percentage. But again, with Miami having, you know, four viable guys in their backcourt right now, I just, you know, tonight's may not be the night. But if anybody, Tyler Johnson, our favorite, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's the, well, let's see here. Josh Richardson came back and he's played 13 and 14 minutes. So even though they lifted the minutes restriction, they gave him one extra minute.
We're going to treat you tonight, bro.
I saw somebody on Twitter yesterday saying that Spoelstra should get Coach of the Year just for being able to coach, or what he's been able to do with Deion Waiters. And I think all what it is he's let Deion Waiters be Deion Waiters. That's kind of hurt, you know, Goran Dragic a little bit, who's still 6,800, and he's just doing enough to reach value or get right under value. This is a crappy list because you've got Tyler Johnson, whose price is starting to creep up. And he's still playing, you know, he can put up a 40 spot in 26 minutes, or he can put up a 14 spot in 31 minutes. You got Deion Waiters, who, you know, we know the kind of run that he's been on. You got Goran Dragic, and now you add Josh Richardson into the mix. It's like a Russian roulette, and good luck trying to figure it out. Newsflash, do not play Deron Williams on FanDuel today, who's still listed under Dallas but could get minutes for Cleveland tonight. Good job, FanDuel. Good job.
Stay classy, San Diego. All right, yeah, I got no other thoughts from this one. So
I don't either. Maybe a James Johnson in tournaments, but
yeah, that could be interesting. I mean, he finally had a respectable performance again, but you know, I've wrote about it a couple of times in my article, but the fact of Waiters and, you know, Richardson and all these other guys being back for the Heat, that really takes away from them. But apparently it's especially Waiters. I wonder if they hate each other. That'd be a funny story if they did.
I don't know. And Hassan Whiteside's only playable on DraftKings right now. So,
okay.
Because he's $8,000 and he's 87 on FanDuel.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Last game of the night here, Minnesota Timberwolves at the Sacramento Kings. Timberwolves opened up as 4-point favorites, but they have gone to 5 since, -205 on the money line, and we got a total of 212, which has actually jumped 2 points from the open. In terms of injuries for this game, we have just Garrett Temple out for the Kings with a hamstring injury, and also Malachi Richardson there as well. Kings won both meetings this season. One was a 3-point win in Sacramento. The other 4-point win in Minnesota. Kings 5-4 against the Timberwolves in their last 9 meetings, but they have only covered 3 of those 9 meetings. For me, I mean, it's pretty simple with the fact that the Timberwolves are 5-point favorites here. I mean, it's been the Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns show, so why stop now?
Yeah, I can't play Andrew Wiggins at 86.
I might have to. Hey, look, if we're not playing Harden tonight, then I could spend up there. It is the Kings, right?
So I understand
who the
that.
Hell's gonna DM up? Salary might not be an issue tonight.
I understand that too, but I mean, I can pay up for Karl Anthony Towns.
You can do that.
And then I can go.
You can probably pay up for both.
I don't. He's 8,600, Al. That is like.
You know, we're taking a look at what he's done without LaVine. It's guaranteed goodness all the time.
He's more playable on FanDuel or DraftKings for me.
Okay.
Like 8,600. Okay, we're talking at 5.5. He needs 47.3. Okay, at 5.5 now, he needs 47.3.
Against the Kings, he can certainly do that.
I agree, but you know what's that's just paying off his salary for tournament value. Where's the profit? In cash games, I don't mind it. I just think for it's another situation we're talking about. Oh, and don't play Matt Barnes. FanDuel is they're funny. They're trolling us. He was 10% owned the other night on FanDuel. It is hilarious. I just for the perceived ownership and the price and the lack of profit potential, I just can't see playing him in tournaments. I think he's a good fade. Karl Anthony Towns is where I would go. I know his price is up there, but he does have the ability to put up, you know, 65. I mean, it right now, honestly, it looks like it's just going to be a fair and balanced lineup day for me, at least on FanDuel. I think that, you know, on DraftKings, Towns is 10-8. This slate sucks now. I mean, I'm going to go pay for it. If I'm paying for anybody on this slate, it's going to be Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm not playing James Harden. It doesn't matter what his price is. Just the way that I'm not even taking price consideration into that one. I'm just not playing him. Not with the way that Houston is running their offense right now. Karl Anthony Towns is, yeah, he's in a good spot and everything, but, you know, everybody's going to keep picking on Sacramento like they should. Don't get me wrong. So, I mean, he's a possibility of, you know, a blind play. So his ownership is going to be spiked. I don't know. If I'm looking anywhere in this game, I think...
In this game?
I think, honestly, I might be looking a little bit towards the Ricky Rubio, Shabazz Muhammad. Route, maybe. Probably more Ricky Rubio. And I don't play a lot of Ricky Rubio, but, you know, in the last two games, 40 and 32. Let's see here. I'm trying to look and see what Brandon Rush has done. He played 33 minutes. He didn't do a lot, but he played 33 minutes. So that could be an option. You know, Shabazz Muhammad has played not enough minutes. Nemanja Bjelica, not enough minutes. I mean,
Bjelica.
I don't know. I'm better at saying Scal Labissiere. You know, I mean, we know where the production's going to be on Minnesota, and it's Wiggins, Rubio, and Towns. I might have a couple Brandon Rush lineups on DraftKings where he's 3,000 and he's playing 33 minutes. You know, shooting guards against Sacramento, it's a thing. So I might take a couple swings there. Considering it's a 197,000 person tournament I'm going to be in tonight. But, you know, I don't like it. It's just, I mean, we can stop talking about Minnesota at any point now.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for what it was going to be. Yeah, I think Sacramento, I mean, look, for me, Minnesota's pretty easy. It's going to be Wiggins or it's going to be Karl Anthony Towns. Probably both. But what do you do on the other side?
I think Ricky Rubio makes a good stack with either one of those. Because, you know, he doesn't shoot a lot. He is more predicated on assists and steals and stuff like that. And you can kind of get the hockey assist with, you know, Rubio going from Wiggins or Rubio going to Towns. So in that case, I can advocate for playing a Rubio Wiggins stack or a Rubio Towns stack. So I do like that. For Sacramento, it's Willie Cauley-Stein's 5,200. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, he's going to play 30 minutes. But I don't know if I can do that. I'm going to need some... I'm going to need some convincing on that one.
This whole Sacramento thing is just – it's incredibly frustrating because, you know, you had Coley Stein just absolutely flop in the last game. But, you know, maybe he's got some, you know, motivation against his former Kentucky guy there in Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't know, man. Like – nothing just seems, I mean, outside of what Ty Lawson, you know, Darren Collison, guys like that, I don't know how good I feel about that. I mean, and you should. I mean, Minnesota's not very good defensively, so, you know, somebody should do something, right? Or is that wishful thinking?
No, somebody's going to do something in this game.
Somebody's going to do something.
I just don't know who. Maybe it's Buddy Hield. He's going to play 26, 27 minutes, and you're telling me he's going to go up against guys like Brandon Rush, Shabazz Muhammad? I mean, he's scoring dependent, don't get me wrong. He's not going to do a lot in the peripheral stats. He'll contribute a little bit, but not a lot. Tyreke Evans? Tyreke Evans, even though his price is up there. I do like him. What did he play as far as minutes the other night?
I did pretty well.
22. So if he can play close to 27, if the game's close, then I like that. He can get over 30. That's, you know, maybe he can get to 35, 40 if he gets hot. Maybe take a swing on Ben McLemore, who's still going to play 30 minutes and has actually been playing pretty well lately. But the point guard situation is just a mess. I mean, now Darren Collison's going to play 28 to 32 minutes, but now he's got Ty Lawson in there that's going to play, you know, 20 to 30 minutes as well. The point guard you're playing, if you're playing either one of them, is going to be Darren Collison, and it's not something you're going to feel comfortable about.
Right. All right, I got nothing else left for this one or the rest of the slate, but any closing thoughts tonight? For tonight.
Make sure you pay attention to Slack channel, everything. Just make sure you pay attention. Don't just blindly think that you can come in at 5:30 and click optimize on the domination station, plug in the lineup, and win all the money. I mean, it's...
Wait, you can't do that?
No, what? You can't do that. I mean, don't get me wrong. DS is good. But
very good.
We're not Nostradamus here.
Life would be a lot more profitable if we were.
Yeah, it would be. I would not be doing a podcast if it was that easy. I love doing it, but I just wouldn't. It would be the second thing coming. So.
All right. Again, if you're not members with us, dfsarmy.com, promo code podcast gets you 20% off each month. If you want to follow me and Keith on Twitter, you follow me at 14a.walsh and Keith over there at Boomers DFS Daddy. That is it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow. dfsarmy.com. Peace.
Peace out.